Welcome to the Mind Virus Podcast.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Good morning. Today is Monday, April 7th, 2025. My name is Bobby Flood, and across from me is sitting nobody. Nobody at all. I'm sitting in the bunker by myself. Jordan Bruno is missing in action, out there gallivanting or pillaging or whatever it is he's doing, but he's not here. So I will handle this solo, which means you get a short, sweet, uneventful podcast today. Nothing too controversial, I would imagine, but I guess that remains to be seen. So thanks for tuning in. This is the Mind Virus Show. Find us on the internets at mindvirus.show. We have links and show notes and videos and things like that that we link to and add a little more depth to these episodes. We also, of course, feature user comments. We always like our user comments, our listener comments, not users. Although I know we are addictive like a drug. But let's see. We have from last week, we have a few comments. We're going to go through those here. And look at some of the comments from last week. I Play the Radio is back. Picking random out of context quotes to share. So you can check those out. Feeding the Elders Quorum President Grapes. Quote, we received good inspiration that we don't need to tell you this stuff anymore. You're right. Don't say anything. So thanks for those. I Play the Radio. And then we've got Publius. Publius always with the insightful comments, adding depth and context to things we talk about. Publius says, we're talking about last week, talking about continuing the conversation about white culture and the LDS Church's statement on white supremacy, white culture, that sort of thing. Publius says, so celebrating white culture is sinful. I ask again, is black, Islam, Jewish, or whatever culture sinful as well? It must be. No, they aren't. He's continuing. No, they aren't 8 years behind on the racism train. They, referring to the church there, because I think maybe we mentioned that. They're just behind. Says, no, they aren't 8 years behind on the racism train. They chastised us in 2020 about being racist during George Floyd fiasco and the Summer of Love. President Oaks and President Nelson specifically said Black Lives Matter, knowing full well how it would be taken, and President Nelson called for members to abandon attitudes and actions of prejudice as if that was even a small problem in the church. And he goes on as well with a few more. So you can read more there at the website. Bathsheba's Baby, I don't know why you're so hard on LDS Church finances. They are just following DNC 48.4. It must needs be necessary that ye save all the money that ye can, and that ye obtain all that ye can in righteousness, that in the time ye may be enabled to purchase land or inheritance, even the city. They have been saving money for decades, and they can plan to purchase and build a giant city outside of Orlando. They are going to go even farther by selling it for huge profit. At least that is what the presiding bishop said when asked about the city. That way they'll be able to have even more money. Take that, Satan. Yeah. Right? Like the old saying, second comings are extremely, extremely expensive. And then Publius also says, coming soon to more states near you. Florida has introduced a bill to protect pesticide companies. Cough, Monsanto, cough. Thank you guys for chiming in and adding something to the conversation. Again, you can find that at mindvirus.show. That was episode 225. Today is episode 226 on this beautiful April day. It is Masters Week, and it is also General Conference Monday, meaning General Conference ended yesterday. And I made some General Conference predictions last week, and we're going to find out right now how accurate I was. Let's see here. Bobby's conference predictions, I said that they would announce one-hour church, as has been rumored out there on the internet. They did not announce one-hour church, although I did qualify that prediction by saying it was the outlandish prediction. But that was not announced. Maybe that will come soon. Maybe it never will. But it is out there on the internet, so speculation or the idea the church is workshopping or beta testing one-hour meetings. And from what I've read, what that consists of is each week you go to sacrament meeting, and on week one, so to speak, on the first Sunday of the month would be sacrament meeting, or you'd go for sacrament, and then there would be a talk, sort of like sacrament meeting is nowadays. Week two, you go and you take the sacrament meeting, and then you break into priesthood and relief society for a brief lesson. Week three would be sacrament, and then you break into your Sunday school or gospel doctrine for a brief lesson. And week four, some variation. So essentially, instead of class twice a month like we have now, right, you go to priesthood and relief society twice a month, you go to Sunday school twice a month, it would be maybe once a month. Or maybe it is still twice a month, just for shorter periods of time, because you'd only be there for an hour. Anyway, that's out there. You can find it on the internet if you're curious. But that was not announced. Okay, one of my other predictions was this conference will be very much like the last conference. I think that came to pass. It was a pretty standard issue general conference. So I'll give myself a W there. And then the other one I said was President Nelson would not be in attendance. I'm going to give myself almost full marks for this one, because President Nelson was only there for the last session, and the talk that he delivered was, I believe, pre-recorded. But he was present. But he was only present for one out of five sessions. So I think I'm going to give myself a mostly W, a mostly win, a mostly correct, mostly peaceful result on that. So two out of three. And of course the 1 hour church one was qualified, as I said, as the outlandish one, the unlikely thing that they would announce. But there was some predictors out there on the YouTube and the internet making other even more outlandish claims, like that Jesus himself would be there sitting in one of the red chairs. Like, not just, you know, oh, the presence of the Lord or something, but literally Jesus hanging out, and maybe he would even be invited to speak. So that did not come to pass. That would have been exciting, but it did not come to pass. Headlines, what's going on out there? I checked out a little bit. Last week was spring break, so we were doing spring breaky type things, but it looks like there's a whole bunch of astroturfed protests against something or other on Saturday, something called Hands Off. That's a funny name, and obviously not organic, because you don't have spontaneous protests all over the country that are all sharing the same pre-printed posters with the logo and branding and all of that. But apparently they were upset about some of the cuts that the Department of Government Efficiency is making. There's lots of Nazi, Elon Musk is a Nazi type signs, which is wild. And of course, a lot of people there who had no idea what they were protesting or why they were there, only that it was something to do, something to fill the void in their sad little lives. Not that protesting is only done by people who live sad little lives, but if you don't know why you're there, well, anyway. There's a few man on the street interviews, including one from Salt Lake City. You know, man on the street style interviews or people at this protest that really didn't have an articulate answer for what it was they were so upset about. Only that they were upset because they were told, in some cases paid, to be upset. And so there they were with their prefab signs and their prefab outrage. And I don't, you know, it's probably, you know, Elon Musk or President Trump probably saw that and went, you know what? They win. We're going to stop. We're going to stop getting rid of corruption and excessive waste in the government because these people demand hands off. Imagine, it's so bizarre. It's so bizarre to me that, well, it isn't, but it's bizarre that people are out there saying, no, we want corruption and waste in our government. We want money to be wasted on things that don't even exist. We want Social Security checks being sent to people who don't even exist and are probably being cashed by others, if you know, or deposited into the bank accounts of others, or it's just being lost out into the ether. Who knows? There's videos and audio recordings resurfacing of, like, say, Chuck Schumer from the 90s talking about closed borders, and Barack Obama and Bill Clinton talking about reducing waste. But when Trump does it, it makes everybody insane and angry because for some reason, as we've speculated a lot about here, everybody, the establishment hates Donald Trump, even though he's kind of part of it. Other headlines, we could take a look at Twitter here, just see what comes up in the feed. Of course, you have the tariff wars. Every country in the world just about is negotiating tariff deals with the United States. I suspect in the long run, it's all going to work out, hopefully in the U.S.'s favor. We've been sort of getting the short end of the tariff stick for a long time. And hopefully can lead to better international trade. I'm a supporter of international trade. I think it's a good thing. I don't have any problem with goods and things that come from overseas, although I do think it's important. I think the United States could be a much more effective producer and manufacturer. I was watching a video recently of a man who owns a bag company. They make bags for motorcycles, right? Like panniers, soft panniers and travel bags. And he was talking about how it's literally impossible for him to manufacture the bags in the United States. Like the plants, the factories just don't exist here. So he had to go overseas to get the kind of thing done that he wanted to do at the quality and the scale that he wanted it done at. You can certainly get the kind of thing he wants done, completed and created in the United States, but it's a very small scale. There's nobody that can scale up onto a commercial level that he needed. So he was kind of forced to go overseas. I'm paraphrasing, and there's maybe some of you out there going, no, but this is according to this person. I'm not going to tell you who it is or anything like that, but it's on the Instagram. Anyway, it's just an interesting idea, or it's an interesting conversation that maybe we should have the ability to scale these specialized type things right here in the United States. And would it be more expensive? Maybe in the short term. You know, with, like, I used to work in the cycling industry and carbon fiber, which the cycling industry uses to build frames and wheel sets and seat posts and handlebars and other kinds of bits and bobs. Every inch of carbon fiber is made elsewhere, China, mostly China. And there's a degree of hand craftedness or hand molding that's needed, especially with the different designs of these bike frames. And that just isn't happening in the United States. Every bit of carbon fiber comes from a small number of factories, and everybody's getting it from the same places. Maybe we can start doing that here. I don't know. I'm not an expert on this stuff, and I'm sort of just sitting back and watching. But I think in the long term, it could be a good thing. What we do know is that the status quo that we've been operating under for 60, 70 years is unsustainable and is collapsing right before our eyes. This tax and spend, incredibly large debt and deficit type bloated balloon economy just doesn't work. But I suspect, so it's no surprise. That's why I said it's not that bizarre to see the establishment saying hands off, right? Hands off our Ponzi scheme, hands off our scam, you know, hands off our Social Security. Well, Social Security is not going to help me when it comes time for me to start making those claims. It's a terrible investment. I'm not going to get nearly what I put into it. But I guess we'll find out. We'll find out if and of course the establishment is going to continue to try to derail the presidency of Trump in any way they can. What else is going on out there? We had the Final Four, the first round of the Final Four semifinals. Yeah, Houston defeated Duke in dramatic fashion. And Florida defeated Auburn in not as dramatic fashion. So we have the national championship game tonight, which means by the time you read this, it'll already have happened. But you have Florida versus Houston. For the first time in 17 years, all four number one seeds in the bracket made the Final Four. There's some people out there who say this is a result of NIL and the rich get richer and the big schools get bigger and better and the era of the Cinderella is over. I think there might be some validity to such a concern, but at the same time, a smaller school does have the ability to go out and raise as much money as they can and to pay players as much money as they can through their NIL, that's name, image, and likeness, their NIL deals. Obviously, the big schools are going to benefit from that. The schools like BYU, which is a big school in the sense of it's got a giant following and it's well-funded, but has never really been one of the big athletic schools if you think about national championships and things. In basketball, they've never made a Final Four. They made that nice run to the Sweet 16 this year, and they have benefited greatly from NIL. And also, they're part of the Big 12. But the NIL is what's made them more competitive, and I think it can trickle down, there's that term, to so-called mid-majors. We'll see. We'll see, but I think college athletics is a disaster right now. It's fun to watch, but the NIL combined with the transfer portal just means that these kids are playing at three or four different schools in three or four years, chasing the better deal and then the opportunity to play. I'm not sure it's real healthy long term or even short term for the athletes or for the schools or for the sports. But these are one of these things that are going to have to be laid out, and we're going to have to learn these lessons the hard way. All right, Twitter. Let's just read some random tweets here for a minute. Based on my feed, of course. Senator Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, says one. Well, he's referring to a Fox News headline that says ACLU lawyer warns under Trump's anybody can be picked up and deported with no judicial oversight, which of course is absurd. That isn't the case at all. But Mike Lee says, one, come here legally or not at all. Two, respect America and the rule of law. Do these two things and you won't be deported. Which is pretty common sense. I've thought about this lately. Imagine if one of us decided to sneak into Canada. You know, the Canadian-American border up there in Montana and elsewhere, it's pretty remote. It's real thick wooded forests. I've been up there a lot in Montana. And that Canadian border, I'd imagine there's some places, and I'm not recommending this, okay? So just calm down. But I imagine there's some places where you could just walk across a border because it's so remote and rugged. And so I walk across the border into Canada with no intention of becoming a Canadian citizen. And I eventually show up in some city in Alberta or British Columbia. And I'm caught. I'm caught by Canadian immigration people. Maybe it's I get pulled over or something, or they're wondering why some guy like Rambo is wandering through their town. Remember Rambo? The cop didn't like him just because he looked rough and kind of harassed him, chased him out of town. but I get caught. What's going to happen to me if I get caught in Canada and it's proven that I snuck in the country? I'm gonna be deported, right? Or detained and then deported. Now, what if I was in Canada and I was committing crimes? I was stealing or I was assaulting people or worse. Obviously, I'm going to be detained and deported and then prosecuted for crimes. Like, it's just common sense. But for some reason, when the United States does it, people view it as racist or something. And of course, it's just the establishment. It's just these forces that are trying to disrupt and collapse Western civilization. And it's working. It's working in Europe and the United Kingdom, and it's working in Canada. Those places are, their culture is collapsing right before our very eyes. And we need to fight back here in the United States and elsewhere. If you're listening internationally, you need to oppose this stuff and try to reclaim your culture. Because in a few years, there's not going to be French culture or Italian culture or English culture. It's just going to be railroaded and buried under whatever invading force decides to take over that country. But we'll own nothing and we'll be happy. All right, back to Twitter. Random tweets. All right, we're scrolling. We're looking for something interesting. Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. Of course, you have the stock market, which has been in a slow motion free fall for a few weeks. I don't think this is a terrible thing. I know it hurts all of our retirement funds and things, but I think it's a good correction. And a way that to make investing in the stock market for regular people more affordable. Stocks have been inflated for years, and I think far too expensive for anybody, but especially for the regular individual investor. All right, this is Donald Trump quoted on Twitter, but I think posted to Truth Social. He says, yesterday, China issued retaliatory tariffs of 34% on top of their already record-setting tariffs, non-monetary tariffs, illegal subsidization of companies, and massive long-term currency manipulation. Despite my warning that any country that retaliates against the U.S. by issuing additional tariffs above and beyond their already existing long-term tariff abuse of our nation will be immediately met with new and substantially higher tariffs over and above those initially set. Therefore, if China does not withdraw its 34% increase above their already long-term trading abuses by tomorrow, April 8, 2025, the United States will impose additional tariffs on China of 50% effective April 9th. Additionally, all talks with China concerning their request their requested meetings with us will be terminated. Negotiations with other countries which have also requested meetings will begin taking place immediately. Thank you for your attention on this matter. So it sounds like, I mean, we're just sort of, not sort of, but we're engaging in this trade war. And again, I think that renegotiating some of these deals is a good thing. And hopefully doesn't lead to hot wars, but actually leads to better relationships internationally with China, Russia, and everybody else. I think it's I think if both parties are satisfied with trade deals and that goods and services and money are crossing borders, I think that's a good thing. All right, let's see here. Back to Twitter. Man, it's kind of a boring day on Twitter. There's nothing real fun or exciting. We have some teachers in elementary school rooms dancing strangely, making videos about it. Of course, that's becoming more and more common. These activist weirdo trans LGBTQ2S+++ advocate activist teachers making videos of themselves. That's a phenomenon that I don't know that people fully anticipated when the smartphone and social media came out. Or maybe they did. Maybe that was the point. But this idea of people filming themselves, the idea of people filming themselves isn't new, and putting it out there isn't new, but people filming themselves doing insane things or having mental and emotional breakdowns, that was really common during COVID. You remember all these nurse videos where they clearly like wore a mask far too tight just so they have those marks around their cheeks and filming themselves like breaking down. Oh, I just had a shift. It was so difficult. What are you doing? It wasn't that difficult because you're making a video and you're posting it on the internet. The narcissism is rampant out there. We can thank social media and the fact that we all have cameras in our hands. What else is on your minds? Obviously, you can't tell me. One of these days, we got to do a live show, and you guys can send us comments while we're broadcasting live, not just live recorded like you're hearing right now. But you could see, I don't have the gift of, I cannot just go off like Jordan Bruno does for hours upon the cosmos and this and that. I do have some thoughts, but I think I'm going to let them marinate a little while longer about General Conference yesterday and some of the talks that were given. As I said, my prediction was the conference would be mostly like everyone else, all the others, and it mostly was. In fact, I think it was a little even more standard issue than normal. There was just nothing really that really stood out, I guess. But I need to go back and maybe reread or re-listen to some of the talk. I think I'll let that marinate and maybe talk about that with Jordan when he's back. Here is on Twitter, the Q shaman. You remember him with the buffalo hat? His name is Jake Angeli Chansley on Twitter. Says the human heart is fertile ground for love and truth to grow. All right, I can agree with that. And then here's something. I'm trying to read it before I read it. He says, did you know that church publications, this is related to our kind of the past couple of weeks of conversations we've been having. Did you know that, this is someone on Twitter called Gray Mountain. Did you know that church publications capitalize black while intentionally leaving the white race uncapitalized? And a lot of people do that, right? A lot of publications have been doing that. Then he continues, given that whites are much more of a global minority and will only become more so in the future, why would top leaders intentionally support such a racist practice in its media division? Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, we've talked about this, right? The church latches on to all the current social trends and ideas. And it was, what was it, in 2020 when people started saying you have to capitalize black when you're referring to race, right? But it doesn't happen with white for some reason. And I think if you're going to capitalize any race in your style guide, why not capitalize all of them? Of course, the better idea is not to capitalize them, because I don't think it's grammatically necessary or even correct, but I'm not a grammar expert. I'm not a grammar Nazi. There's that word again. No capital for you. Anyhow, maybe somebody out there who's a little more well-versed in grammar and style guides for journalism and scholarship can weigh in on that. Should races be capitalized? Speaking of grammar, actually, I don't have anything for that. I was hoping something would come to mind, but it didn't. But I was also spending some time this weekend kind of going down the archives on Twitter and looking at things that did or did not age well. And I came across some... Pardon me. I came across a whole rabbit hole on Twitter of members of the church defending the vaccine letter. And of course, that didn't age well. The vaccine letter, but also just the vaccine itself, the vaccine activism, the vaccine mandates, the calls for violence against the unvaccinated that we saw out there in the media. The calls for the unvaccinated to be denied health care and to be fired from their jobs. It just, none of that aged well at all. And I wonder if we're ever going to do anything about it. Because as I've said in the past, these things didn't just come from the ether. Like, it's individuals, it's people that were advocating for this stuff. In a lot of cases, it was powerful people, or at least people in positions of power. I think a lot of these people are actually extremely weak, but they're in positions of power and positions where they can abuse their station to exercise unrighteous dominion. And we know what the Doctrine and Covenants says about that. But I wonder if anything's ever going to happen, because I think a lot of people are content to forget and just move on. But a lot of these same people are still in the positions of power and are poised to do the same thing yet again when there's some other crisis, whether organic or astroturfed. The status quo, the establishment, they love their crises and they love to use them to manipulate and oppress and rule with blood and horror on this earth. Well, I'm about talked out. We're only about 30 minutes in, but that's about all I got when I'm not bouncing off of Jordan Bruno's ideas. And so I think I'm going to let you all go. Just a short podcast this week. But we do appreciate you guys. We know you're out there, and we appreciate the comments. Please feel free to make comments, to share this with friends that you think might be interested. All of those things, right? All of the social media things that we bemoan and loathe, but are also such a weird, integrated part of our lives. And have a great week, everybody. It is the Masters. I know we've talked about golf before, and Jordan wasn't a big fan, but I think the Masters tournament is pretty neat. It's a pretty cool experience, even on television. That'll start on Thursday, officially. And so by the time we meet again, we should know the winner of this year's Masters. We'll know the basketball national champion. Baseball is underway. I know Jordan's a huge baseball fan as well. And the weather here in the Mountain West, in the shadows of the everlasting hills, is starting to look better and better. So I think brighter, warmer, longer days are ahead. And we're entering into my favorite time of year, which is spring and summer. Late spring, you know, basically just summer. And I'm looking forward to a lot of long, bright, hot, sunny days ahead. In the meantime, though, it is still April, and, well, you never know. So we will see you again next week. My name is Bobby Flood, and that over there is not Jordan Bruno, or nor is it anybody else. It is just me today, as you've sadly discovered. But thanks for listening, and we will see you again next time.